the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hiridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing in the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day! Oh, happy blessed place! Oh, happy blessed time! Oh, happy blessed path! Oh, happy blessed opportunity! In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Sunday morning groups and make them available to monthly donors. What would folks like to look at this morning? Rebecca.
Well, I'm looking at something interesting in the sitting.
In the sitting posture?
No, just meditation process that happens. That I just saw yesterday, and I saw and I caught it again today. And it is like, because so I've been looking at for some time why I can't seem to get my attention off the voices, just the stories, and it's a real challenge. And what I caught is how they mimic life. And the image that I got was, how that annoying things kids do to each other when they want to torture each other, like,
Mommy, touch me.
Say something, like, reflect what I was just saying.
The annoying things that kids do.
Okay. So it's how they do that. Then you just cannot not look at the other kid, right? You can't. It's like, it's really hard to keep your attention on what kid number one is saying, because kid number two is, And that's what's happening with ego and life. It's like life will drop in these jewels. And Sherry says that. It's dropping in all the time. And ego is just, jumping in and saying it like that.
It's just jumping in there nanoseconds later. And like an annoying kid, just mimicking. Are you saying that you're seeing it mimicking what life is dropping in?
Yep. Uh-huh. It just horns in and acts like it's saying it for itself. And so for some reason that was so helpful to see, because it helps me sort of frame what my job is. And my job is to keep it on life. Mm-hmm. And I've known that in all kinds of other ways, mm-hmm. but like this helped frame it in a different way.
What arises is, you say that, much like with the annoying kids, if you keep your attention just focused on the one kid and block out the annoying kid, that annoying kid just loses steam very quickly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That is so true. That's exactly how they lose interest in me. If they weren't getting the charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They weren't getting the attention that they're trying to get to mm-hmm. begin with.
Yeah, either the angst, mm-hmm. driving somebody crazy, or just even the attention, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really, been kind of fun to play with.
Hmm. So having an insight that dropped in this morning that actually condition did not go off and distract you from, and that is just seeing how one of the major ways that it diverts your attention.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it actually did try to do that because it like then got went on it, saying it over, because that's the way it does too. And yeah. I mean, all the annoying things that kids do when they're after about age 5 or 6 or so, after they're it really parallels conditioning exactly, because that's all they're doing, right? Just acting out what they're experiencing.
About the same age conditioning kicks in with them, you know, up until that point. They're just this beautiful little expression of life, and then boom.
Yeah, and then the bullying, the name, I mean, everything. It's like, okay, here's, you know, and then, but anyway, so what I saw is that it was doing that. It's just that I was now able to see it. You know, I wasn't so, you know, just close to it and attached to it in that way.
You weren't so close and attached, you were able to stand back a little bit. And it sounds like actually received one of the gifts of sitting still.
Yeah.
Of just being able to watch all that is arising.
Yeah, because then some of its other antics were, you know, what it tries then, and then it'll throw in this, and then it'll try this. But it was the gift of just sitting still. And, you know, I've been sitting still a long time, and so to have these new ways of looking at it is just so helpful, so wonderful when they drop in like that.
And as you started out, I mean, it seems that only conditioning would have us believe that sitting is supposed to be this uninterrupted, you know, our attention not being pulled, not being diverted. Mm-hmm. And what, you know, maybe that's the gift, to see that all happening, and to, you know, to see what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what we have in the sitting still reading, it's the stuff in the middle.
It's the stuff in the middle.
The whole point.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been looking a lot lately for the past week or so, maybe a little more in guidance, especially at a process map around the content of relationship, because that's just one of the contents that's just like just the foundation of suffering.
No, that's like, the one that conditioning has over here. The annoying kid that's on you all the time about relationships.
Yeah, it's horrible. And it's like they're the kind of twofold belief of it is the most important thing in a human life, and but you don't have it because you can't be happy in it. Oh, just everything that happens because of that, you know. And made this big kind of ornate process, not going to see everything about it. The kind of guidance that I received is like, well, what if the belief at the core of that, you know, were not true? What if you could just let go of the whole thing, kind of right now, and the whole kind of thing of just cut out the middle, man. You know, so how do you, you know, how would you feel if you had the perfect relationship? And then can you just go to that experience? And it's been so cool watching the development over the last week and a half or so with that, because at first it was like, okay, yeah, I get that intellectually. It's like, that's what we're doing, sure, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Cutting out the middle, man, go into the experience you want to have. Sure. and then simultaneously I was seeing the same process that happened in that process map around relationship happens with every other major content.
Yeah.
I guess it's no surprise, we talk about this all the time, but with money, relationship, work, community, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it sounds like doing the process map was really revealed process.
Yeah.
You know, it just took the content right out of it. And so you could see how it's not necessarily attached to relationship. And what if you examine that core belief that you have about relationship and just took that, you know, question that.
Yeah. And I know I've been hot on the trail of something really good, because conditioning's been going nuts all week long. And so I've kind of just gone ahead and just leaned into it. And this I kind of had it dropped in about a week ago. Like, it would be such a loving exercise to sit down and ask, you know, how would you feel if you had the perfect relationship? You know, and just write it out. Mm-hmm. And then you record that. And it's like, yeah, that'd be really great to do. And then back burner. Like,
I'll do it someday.
Someday. It was getting ready to be someday and never. And this morning, I was just sat down in the chair and I started. And it blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It just blew my mind. The pen just started moving across the paper. There was like no effort. Pages were getting filled up. There's pages and pages of, it was everything I've ever wanted. Mm-hmm. Everything I've ever wanted, ever, mm-hmm. in life, you know, from relationship, from friendship, from community, and it was all right there. And I got to see it. It's available here. I was having the experience as I was writing it, and I was feeling like, here it is. Here's the relationship I've always wanted with this human. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh my gosh, what a powerful exercise. I'm so excited about it. I'm going to spend the rest of the day just, I don't care if it takes 100 pages, I'm going to write it all out and record it and commit to just listening to it every day. Because it's building that. Like I'm really seeing now as like the fundamental, like what practice is, mm-hmm. is building a loving relationship with this person. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what that feels like.
Yeah, it sounds like you just took some time this morning to really acknowledge what that person really wants, mm-hmm. you know, and not be distracted by all of the tantalizing toys that, you know, conditioning would hold out and say, you're going to get it with this, you're going to get it with that, you're going to get it over here.
Right, someday.
And someday, you know, if all the stars align, all the planets align, and how that feeds the suffering. And what happened this morning is that you actually accessed what it is that that person desires in his deepest heart. And then you found that place. And that you could give it to him. And what a compassionate and kind thing to do.
Mm. Yeah, truly. And so grateful for the recording and listening practice. That not only did I find it, you know, it would be so, without that, it would be so easily forgotten. Like, well, that was a nice thing I did one time. Yeah. How did that go?
Yeah.
But to have that available, I could start every day. Like, wake up, put in the earbuds, and have that experience.
Exactly, and like you say, and putting it on the recorder, and then it draws that experience, you know, accesses that experience, accesses that place within you that actually knows that experience, and to just practice that repeatedly, so that's the default.
Wow.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah. Thank you.
I had an experience of being, I would have to say, struck by, shocked by conditioning this past week. And it's just one of those helpful things, you know. You know, we talked to them about the spiral, you know, that we come back to things and mm-hmm. we're in a different place. So I had that experience. And, you know, I was just so aware that I really can go along thinking that this is sort of over.
Yes. I don't have to revisit this again.
Yeah, or it's just not around.
Yeah.
You know? It's not even that I don't have to revisit it. It's just not there. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, bam! And it's like that. It's like being slapped. Mm-hmm. And there it is. And I watched the conditioned process. I mean, it was one of those great experiences of absolutely having conditioning going at it and knowing that that was what was happening.
You knew that conditioning was going at it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I knew that was what was happening.
Yeah.
I couldn't shut it up, you know, I couldn't quite turn my attention away, so I watched what it was doing. Mm-hmm. But you know, recalling instances from my life going back to when I was in elementary school, you know, it has a catalog of all the instances that prove that this current situation is absolutely true and continuous.
To support its point.
To support its point, yeah. It was just amazing to watch. And I could remember how I felt in all those places, which was just how conditioning wanted me to feel now. Mm. I'm aware that, you know, there is, going back, it is a little person who probably first encountered that and who feels that. That's the one who gets grabbed by conditioning, and the one that needs to be brought in when conditioning starts that kind of rampage. And that's what it felt like. It felt like a little rampage going on.
A little rampage against a really young child.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, and so the part of what was so beautiful about it was, first of all, getting it that it's never over. You know, we keep encountering these things. And but getting it that I was aware that there was a process going on that was conditioning's process. Mm-hmm. I was sure feeling it, but it was conditioning's process. Uh-huh. And getting that who is at stake there is a very young person. It's not me right now. It's some part that was bruised young. I mean, being able to see all that, even in the midst of a kind of horrible boxing match on conditioning's part with me.
Sounds like you were able to not take any of it personally, like you were able to see that that's conditioning and just
on and off. I could feel myself getting pulled in. I could feel myself feeling the feelings, and I could know that, oh, I'm taking it personally. You know, it was that process of knowing what's happening rather than just being it.
Uh huh. It sounds like it was that process of just really watching very closely.
Yeah, yeah, I just was very grateful for it, even though it was a horrible experience. And then I got it that I really needed to record and listen to everything I just kind of said here about that and what it was calling up and what it was pointing to. And really, after the recording and listening, it was over. Mm-hmm. And so another plug for recording and listening, which of course I was told not to do. Mm-hmm. Don't record and listen. Listen to this.
And don't record anything.
That's
yes.
Right. And so again, part of what was just remarkable was being able to see all that, even in the experiencing of it, and then seeing how fast it passed, actually. Because when I recalled those places that when it's happened before, I've been in them for a long time.
Right. Then they keep getting dredged up over and over and over again and recreating those sensations and the meaning attached to it.
Yeah.
And would you say just a little bit about how you used the recorder at that point? You recorded the process of seeing it and...
I recorded what conditioning was doing as someone who was observing what conditioning was doing. Mm-hmm. It was very different than recording it from conditioning.
Exactly, that's what I hoped you would...
She hoped I'd say, right?
Yeah, I think that's valuable for folks to have that information.
Yeah, well, it really was. It was a very different place. And I also could see that I really need to have a conversation with that one little one. Mm-hmm. Because that one is very vulnerable. I saw how vulnerable that was. I mean, what happened was a casual remark, and it was off. You know, that's all it took. So seeing how vulnerable that one is, even though much of the time I'm not aware that she's so vulnerable. So the next step would be to have a two-chair maybe with her.
Yeah. Boy, it really supports the fact that we cannot afford to go to sleep for a nanosecond. You know, that's all that it would have taken in that situation to have abuse ensue for that young part that, like you said, could have gone on for forever.
Yeah.
Not forever, but for quite a bit. It feels like forever, you know.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the message of conditioning and recalling all those incidents was, this is forever.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It was one of those things where I felt disapproved of, kind of thing. And so our conditioning one go is, you've never been liked. You've never been approved of. Look at this. Bing, 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 bing. Let's go back year by year, kind of thing. So what conditioning wants to say is it's not only happened before, it's continuous. It's always been that way. So being able to just see through all that is just a huge gift.
So going back to what you opened with, the spiral.
Yeah.
You know?
In a different place.
In a different place. So revisiting something that has happened, it sounds like, many times, and actually this time when it was revisited, really seeing the benefits of practice.
Yeah, and also it was a compassion moment because, you know, I can get impatient with, you know, people reiterating things. And here I was, you know, in the same story, you know, and I thought, all right, you know, there it is. And in my mind at the moment, there's the observing what's going on, but what's going on in my mind is the same stuff over and over and over. And so here I am again, also.
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, we get caught.
Yeah.
You know, we get caught. And but fortunately, at least we reach a point where we know what we're caught in.
Yeah.
And we can disentangle from that much faster.
Yeah. And as you say, it helps to build compassion for those that don't have the gift of a practice, maybe, who just get continually caught, wow, how painful.
Yeah.
And to really have the compassion for others and self,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and to realize, to have the experience of being in a different place,
yeah.
Having this, quote, same yeah. experience, and yeah. realizing it's not the same experience.
Yeah, because it's pretty hard sometimes to notice the transformation that's happening in our lives.
Yeah.
And then it takes something like that to, you know, a little mirror gets held up. And
right.
It's like, wow.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. You know. Thank you. Thank
you. So I'm going to jump in again and stand up to the voices that are telling me not to.
What was the first thing you said?
I'm going to jump in.
Jump in to stand up to the voices.
Yeah, because they're doing their usual song and dance with, you know, not to speak up, and mm-hmm. you know, you know, yesterday I was working as part of what we're all doing as a project yesterday here on the property, and it was a beautiful day, and it was, you know, it was a really fun thing. We were doing a really fun activity, and I personally was really enjoying it, you know, just the whole being outside and being in nature, and there was, you know, kind of this real peaceful place with it all. And then out of nowhere, this voice comes in and says, you know, there's group tomorrow morning. And it was like, I mean, I just, it was like, oh, just drown me. You
talk
know?
About going back to the young part that gets tortured.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And so from then until right now, you know, it's been a constant, like, there, you know, maybe it was like from the first conversation, like, there it is, mm-hmm. kind of thing. You know, like, you're going to make an idiot out of yourself, you know. All you ever do is report on you. Why can't you speak from, you know, third person? Why can't you be part of what everybody else is doing? You know, just this, and I'm sure it's talking to, I mean, actually, I'm not sure, but I'm suspecting that it is talking to a young person mm-hmm. who's just going, what? You know, I was just here enjoying playing in the mud. You know, how did we transition into being an abject loser, you know, who just needs to feel shame and all these things? I mean, it's just so, you know, it's absurd, really, the whole thing. Yeah.
It's absurd because probably the one that was enjoying playing in the mud is pretty young, too. And he, you know, that was the one that got told, oh, there's group tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the place that there's still, I mean, naturally, because I'm in it, there's so much confusion in terms of, and I'm definitely not in the figuring it out game. Like, I'm just want to acknowledge that there's, you know, kind of the notion of, like, is it an ego identity that's there? Is there some personality that's getting used? Like, it's kind of spiraled into, you know, like, all of that just gets, like, thrown into one big lump.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no idea. Literally, I don't. So I figured the best thing to do is to just speak up.
Right. So the voices, you notice them really going on at you, and it's probably not related to a particular content. It's a process probably you see often.
Mm-hmm.
And the new behavior change, it sounds like that you're trying with it, is just to speak up.
Yeah.
And say, this is what's going on, and
yeah.
And I'm just speaking up about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there is no, you know, when I raised my hands this morning, you know, there was nothing to say, really. You know, mm-hmm. you know, there was no, you know, often part of the campaign is, you know, what it will do is, and I think this goes way beyond group, you know, obviously, but it is a process level. It's, and I think one of the core pieces of it that I always see is the information comes in that there's like a right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a right way to be. Mm-hmm. So in group, that, you know, has a certain thing.
Right.
You know, you tell a certain story about yourself, but you don't make it personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you you say something like this, or you reveal some incredible insight, or, you know, there's like a whole little dictionary that you go through, and you gotta tick all those things. And then on the flip side of that is, those are only, you only know about those based on other people's response.
Right. I mean, talk about putting the kibosh on any authenticity at all, you know.
Goners.
You know,
total goners. Yeah. So, and I know that that actually, that is a process happens in all of life. So it's like going in, doping out, who has the power, what's the way to do it, who are the authorities, you know, what's going to get the certain, you know, what's the right way to be? And gosh, you know, as you said, talk about just putting the kibosh on any kind of authenticity. You know, what dropped in after group on Thursday, after that meeting, was this place of, it feels like there's an I who is attempting to be authentic, which of course blocks authenticity from expressing. So it's, gosh, it's very, I mean, to be totally honest, it's very, very helpful. It's very painful to go through. You know, I'm not going to kind of sugarcoat it. It's brutal. It gives me headaches, and you know, there's a lot of suffering involved in it. But at the same time, if I do step back and kind of look, okay, you know, I started acknowledging this to myself maybe 2 or 3 months ago, whenever that was, and if I look at where it was then and where it is now, there is some gratitude for it, especially when I look at it from a perspective that's bigger than just group, you know. But if I look at it from a process, you know, there is a lot of freedom that is being kind of hard fought for within it all. You know, that at one point, I think it was mentioned on Thursday, that at one point things just click. And, you know, I suspect that at one point things will just kind of click, you know. I don't know when that will be, but I like that notion, and I love the idea that, you know, it's just kind of something to just keep chipping away at.
So just really acknowledging or seeing that, in spite of, it sounds like opportunities that are presenting themselves that are extremely painful, someone is just keeping on with practice, and keeps showing up, doesn't know at all how to do this thing that's, you know, not involved with trying to figure out how to do it right, and, you know, all the noodling that goes on with it. But, you know, it's just willing to just keep showing up and keep going through that discomfort, and watching, and, you know, and acknowledging. Who knows, even if, I mean, looking for the click, who knows if there'll be even a click. You know, what comes is what we've been hearing recently is just that, you know, to practice with our wholeheartedly, without any expectation, you know, without any knowing that it's going to result in any particular outcome.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're going for, just to bring that wholeheartedness to everything.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because I can see so much that, you know, any kind of expectation just kind of loops it right back into, you know, where it all started.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows? Thank you.
Jen?
I'd like to explore my version of that.
Okay.
So, the concept could seem just completely different, but the process that I hear in it is identical in that sense of going along. I mean, I can just think of so many instances going along in a fair degree of well-being, maybe joy, whatever, and then just that same, like, just don't forget about you know. And
the joy killer.
Oh my gosh. And I just was seeing so many things in it, looking at how I work with that and my relationship with it and what's changed over time. And I have no idea, but this one little thing just dropped in that I think that when I'm going along and it's able to do that, it's like the slap someone talked about earlier. I suspect that there's at least some degree of unconsciousness when that happens. Because I also know the experience of conditioning coming in with something and it's like, please. You know, I mean,
how ridiculous, yeah.
Bounces right back off, and it just, it lands in presence, and presence is big enough for all of it. And so I just have this image of the infinite kindness of life in continuing to jolt me awake, you know? Because one of the ways I work with it now is it's very clear in that moment when that happens, the amount of power egocentric karma conditioning self-hate has in that moment. You know, it can, in a moment of unconsciousness, it can take me right down to suffering.
Yeah.
You know, and then, I mean, at any moment, the power, if you will, it's not a great way to talk about it, but it does kind of speak to the experience. The minute I'm present again, the power is back here with life, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And that, so the way that I work with it when it comes in now is just to let it be, in the sense of to just, I don't know, to relax into that is part of this moment. So I'm going along, and then there's that, ugh! And forever it's kind of like, darn, my nice moment is ruined. You know, and now I have to worry about that, and I don't want to have to worry about that, and that's not what I want, and it's all an I having a relationship with that. But in that place of ultimate freedom, there's something about being able to practice with, I have that feeling.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, again, at least for me, it comes down to the sensation that that creates. Mm-hmm. And if there's no need to resist that, the voices, the sensations, the whatever they're doing, and that's a perfectly okay attribute of this moment.
It's a great judo move.
It's a great judo move. Yeah.
To just really, you know, to see it coming and to say, okay, and this is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, instead of getting up there and just pushing it and resisting and suffering and to,
And you know, judo, that's a good image because my experience is all different things with it. Sometimes the judo is so available that I don't get thrown. Sometimes I get thrown, and I laugh, and I stand up. Sometimes I get thrown, and it's like, wow, I got thrown again! But I always get back up. And if, and the practice expands to the place where the realization that I'm going to get back up can be there more and more and more and more. So even if I'm on the ground, I'm not on the ground, or I'm on the ground for 1 second, or 2 seconds, or 5 minutes, or a week. But if there can be the realization, here I am, I'm on the ground, I'm getting back up soon, pretty soon, I'm going to be back up there.
There's a bank of experience that tells you, oh yeah, I know of this place, I've been here, and I know I'll be back up.
And even the last piece I just saw with it is to even include that I have no idea how to get back up, right? This very minute, I have no idea how to, I can't remember. I can't access that, I'm not sure. But the miracle, of course, is that in the absolute acceptance of that, guess what? Back up.
Boom, you're up again.
You know?
Yeah, that miracle of acceptance. It just seems so counterintuitive to, you know, I don't know, everything that we've been conditioned to. You know, you've got to resist and fight, but it's just backwards.
And no wonder we've been conditioned to that.
Yeah.
Because what's the fastest way to stay down?
Right.
I hate this, I don't want to be here, this stinks, I'm the wrong person, if only I... And then it has us trained. Because the minute the tiniest glimpse of it coming towards us, it's just like we were just talking about, it's like, no, I want the good stuff. I want to feel happy, I want to feel joyful, I want to feel... And it's got us from that second.
Wow, it's a worthy opponent, but, you know...
But
thank goodness, like you said, life. How wonderful life! It's just relentless,
yeah,
and bringing us opportunities to just keep seeing where we've gone to sleep, and to, you know, so we can strengthen that ability to turn our attention to.
Yeah, that's really good. It is, because what I just saw was it's a worthy opponent, and that if it weren't, if it sort of, quote, went easy on us, I feel like we have an intuitive sense that that's not freedom.
Yeah.
In the sense of, so it's being nice to me, it's letting me, but something else is possible, so it's always like, oh God. When's the thing going to happen that I'm not going to be able to, that I'm not? But instead, it just comes at us, such that, as you said, we get that bank of experience where we realize, I'm going to get up every time, no matter what it throws at me.
And truly, if we want to become a master, what we're going to do is call into our experience the toughest, the toughest opponent that we can.
And we can be wise about our own training. Mm-hmm. We can participate in choosing the I don't know judo, so I don't know. Is it a match? Is it a whatever it is? But the way that we practice with it, and knowing that, not expecting. Okay, so here's the thing that's so difficult for me. Let me find the hardest move, the hardest, Okay, let's not go there yet. Right. Let me practice with the things that are, quote, easy. Yeah. Let me do it again and again and again and again and again and again and stay conscious in that, and then go to the, next, do they have belts?
Yeah.
The next color belt.
I don't know whether this is so, I'll have to look at it. In a way, it feels like life is there kind of as a buffer, maybe a little bit, matching our... our awareness, matching our experience, and kind of like,
definitely.
And then it's back a little bit more, maybe when we're ready to meet that, bigger.
Yeah. But there we are, doing what we're doing, just like in that last conversation. And then it's like, all right, it throws us this thing because we're ready for it.
Yeah.
Because it's just at the edge of what we can practice with.
Yeah. Boy, you can see that is a time to make Gesho and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for letting me see what I'm ready for. Chad.
So I've just been looking at how conditioning, one, tries to prevent me from experiencing joy. And if I actually push through that and experience it, and it tries to overtake the experience and prevent me from ever putting myself in that position again. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the New Year's retreat, I on the way there, I forgot something, and I'm like, I can't go now. And it was something that was readily available after a retreat. I can't go. Too bad. Bummer. And we needed that money anyway. So or that experience. And that seems so real in that moment where I can't go. But just to see through that, and also here, just wanting to. Come here and practice here. The guest master will never return my email. And this is the monk's place. You can come to retreats, that's fine, but you can't practice here. This is there. So just all these stories, and really what's helped me is recording and listening, because it's really been kind of a practice bridge for me, just in my life between my morning and evening sits, to where. If I'm not centered, it really helps me and allows me to come back to center just much easier. And it allows me to, this is something I would never even allow myself to do, in the past, come here and share as well. And
might want to say this is something that conditioning would have never allowed you to do in the past.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And also an understanding, too, when I'm in the car driving away, that, I need to be practicing, because if I'm not, then it's going to prevent me from never coming back here again. And do its best to do that. So, and also, it's not, that's, this process happens in so many areas of my life. Charged areas where I didn't know that was a process that was happening. So it's just good to see.
So you're really seeing how, as we've been talking about this morning, you're really seeing the moves of your opponent,
right.
Who will always try to kill your joy. Anything right. that the heart feels called to, it sounds like going on retreat, coming to the Sunday mornings at the monastery, emailing the guest master, that you hear a lot about how it's not going to work for you,
right?
And that you need to give it up.
And I would have easily gone with those voices in the past, and mm-hmm. I think practice has I guess improved or enhanced its idea. Why would I believe that, you know? And you kind of just move beyond that and to another, something else to work with. But yeah, it's cool to have those experiences.
It sounds like maybe you're getting a sense that they're not you, mm-hmm. that those voices are not you, that actually those voices are there to take away the experience that the heart is going through, that the experience that will be really satisfying. They're there to cause suffering. And that it sounds like there's a deeper commitment there to just stand up to those voices and go take a step farther and see what happens mm-hmm. and check it out. And that you're using recording and listening as a tool. It sounds like that it is really supporting you in your practice, that you're using those opportunity to come back, I think you said, to come back to center mm-hmm. and to really support you through the day.
Yeah. And then each step I take that's beyond conditioning, it's just so expansive. Yeah. And it's everything that conditioning says, you know, it would be. So.
It is. Yeah. Every step that you take is just, it reinforces that, as you know, Jen was saying, it just reinforces that experience that, you know, oh, I know that I can go up against that voice and nothing terrible is going to happen, you know, but in fact something very good is going to happen. And so then you have a little bit more impetus to walk through the next voice and the next voice, and to, you know, it's a great thing to pay attention to. It's strengthening those practice muscles. June.
I'm kind of caught in that success failure structure again a little bit. I've been enjoying the gift for about the last 3 weeks of a really sore neck.
A sore neck?
Yeah. And God, and it just, you know, all that stuff just floods in. The one that's always there is just from the time that kindness is most needed, self-hate conditioning.
Yeah. Just when the human is most vulnerable. Yeah.
So, you know, I love group. It just helps me see what's going on. It's my fault that I'm sore neck. If I were the right person, I wouldn't. I had a sore neck before. If I had been practicing every day religiously and doing the things that make sure the person never gets a sore neck again, then I would be the right that would have been the right thing to have been doing. It's very personal.
Very personal.
Very much what Alan Watts calls the I experience is here. Mm-hmm. The open them. Is real because she has a sore neck and it's her fault. Mm-hmm. And she's resistant to things that are going to make it better because she doesn't believe they're going to. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't want to have to believe they're going to for them to work. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
That she's resistant to things that might make them better. And she doesn't want to have to believe that they'll work.
Yes. It's like, this just run, she just run it, run this through a lot. You know, a shot of morphine, you don't have to believe it's going to send you
it
to
just doesn't, right? And anything less than a shot of morphine that, you know, might take some time or some, maybe even some, you know, some subtle watching. It's like,
perhaps she doesn't go there. And our four, I don't know, natural remedies, quote unquote, to work. I've got to believe they're going to work.
You've got to believe it.
So that whole thing is just constantly playing and keeping separation in place. Yes, and my whole focus, my whole life has to be about doing the right things now to make the sore neck go away. And that's just how it is. That's just what has to be true. It's not going to go away unless I become the right person.
And as you said, you can see it's a process that has nothing really to do with content that you've probably seen a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
I have to be the right person in order to have relief.
Yeah. So, that's all. That's just what it's saying. And it's the thing about getting up. You hit the ground, you know you're going to get it up. I've just been listening to a recording about the such thing as choice. And the choice will get made, or has already been made, to follow, take the supplements and do the this and the exercises and do that sort of thing. And, it will or it won't help. I will or I won't live the rest of my life with sore neck. I suspect won't. Kind of whether I address it or not, it will eventually go away. I don't know. It's just one of those places that just comes up more and more often as I get older. That I get stuck in.
It's one of the really real things, you know. Sherry mentions money, health, relationships. Everyone, the other, those are the big ones, you know. And then when they show up, it's like, I'm okay. Everything else on the back burner. This one is really real. You know, as soon as I get this resolved, then, you know, we'll go back to practice. And as you said, you know, there's no, you know, this place of no choice. I mean, and I know this is easy to say. It's like, you know, but the image of the person in the boat rowing, or, you know, with the legs stuck on the shore, you know, and not going with the current, or just like, you know, putting the O and or, and, I mean, I guess you can't have an oar in there and steer a little, but, you know, just like to go with the direction it's going, and how much more, I want to say, healing and restful.
Oh, I'm
going to
try that.
You know, and maybe you don't even have to know how to do that. Maybe just even visualize being in the boat and taking the foot off, you know, putting the foot in the boat and just say, I don't know. I don't know what comes next. Let's just see.
Oh, that's so perfect. Thank you. You know, Thursday night I talked about that place in golf, where you're practicing golf, where you reach. It's true, it's surrender. There's no goal. There's no I. Okay.
And anytime we want to take it all back, we can. You know, we can practice surrender in increments. You know?
Yeah, I seem to do that.
I mean, maybe not in increments, but you can surrender, and then, like, if it doesn't feel so good, you can, you know, go back to the resistance. But
oh, that's, I'll have to say, that's not my experience. surrender feels much too good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's right.
I see the white flag. Vision has gone. I didn't see the white flag over here.
So my version of that is control, and I've been looking at this this week around upping your name. So I can hardly remember. And I have had this neat insight that my process is to take an assignment, like upping your game, and I gets control over it. So I could really relate with that. Right after I have a willingness, boom.
Yeah.
You know, I comes in, ego comes in and just uses the language and makes it its. Yeah. And so I've been kind of laughing this week because I have had a week full of a lot of interesting opportunities to practice that I would have never fathomed would have been what would have been handed to me to up my game. I would have thought, well, what it's going to look like is I'm going to sign up for the email class, and I'm going to do the daily things, and I might add a meditation to my day, and make sure I do a little yoga. You know, I sort of have this idea of what it's going to look like, the plan. So it's sort of that whole thing of control. You know, I's going to get in and take it. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought it was somebody is going to, and this isn't even somebody in my life, not even somebody I'm really in a relationship, you know, I'm going to start obsessing about another person's life. I didn't think that, and that's going to force me to sit more. Because my brain, I don't have a lot of, I could relate with what Sherry said on the upping your game thing. She said her life was kind of boring. I really have a pretty boring life. I mean, it's the same. The kids, the dog.
A routine.
A routine. And it isn't sort of, anyway. I don't sit around obsessing about it or you know. So I was watching a meditation. This is how I was seeing it, that my mind was really attaching to things like a soap opera. You know, we talk about it like that. You know, running this movie and pulling me in. And I'm thinking, why is this so compelling? Why am I so addicted to that thing? And then I come back to the breath, and I thought, you know, when I become willing, this is what I saw, I don't know if it's true or not, but it seems like when I become willing to really up my game, you know, like a sincere willingness, that ego does not like it. and so it'll use anything to get me distracted, and then it'll tell me I'm distracted. So here's what I caught. So I've really been distracted. Now see, this is what it tells me. I've really been distracted in meditation this week. But as I was sitting with it, what I saw was, the truth is that somebody is sitting quite still in meditation. That would be me. I am sitting really still in meditation, and my mind is going really, really quick sometimes. And then ego takes that and tells me that I am not present.
Right.
And it tells me that it needs to get me present. Mm-hmm. But the good news is I've practiced for a long time and I've sat these sessions. I got to write a note. Here's a note. I've been wanting to write it for years. We need another session. So anyway, I was on a really long one. I've said this a lot, but for those who are new, I'll say it again. I was on this really long session. It was like day 6. And I'm walking in meditation. I was sit, walk, sit, 13 and 13 or whatever. And I got it that I'm not walking. I'm not walking. Something's walking. It's not me. And so because I've had that experience, when I was looking at how everything that ego has going about how I'm doing right now, I realized
realize that the truth is, I'm upping my game.
You are
the truth is that when I provide the willingness, life zooms in. We've heard that forever. And that it's not going to look like what ego tells me upping its game, my game is going to look like. And it always does that to me.
Yeah, it's always upping its game.
It's upping its game and telling me I'm not upping my game and running a story and I'm all, you know, yeah. I mean, and then I'll, but I just love what somebody said, I don't even know who, earlier, that it goes back to sitting still. You know, this is it. This is it. All of it is it. And it's that thing, ego is lying to me. And I'm really grateful for life, because 2 weeks ago, I would have said, oh my gosh, this new puppy, I've been up all night, and I'm, you know, but the truth is, I've been meditating a lot more. I'm getting up really early, sitting with the puppy in my lap like I used to be, the kids, and meditating a lot. And this crazy thing in my life, I am meditating more because it's making me crazy. And I am surrendering. It's really none of my business. This thing is making me crazy. And so there's just been all these opportunities to practice that I would have, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said, this is not up in my game. You know, I can barely do my evening meditation because I'm so tired and obsessed. And no, the truth is, I'm sitting.
So it's like we were talking about earlier, life is giving you more and more opportunities. You know, you're ready for them, that you're upping your game, you're sitting through all of these things that would have, you know, that if conditioning has its way.
Well, and the thing is, you're reflecting that is, I actually am not doing it. Yeah. It's, I mean, in that way of not to not take responsibility for willingness and all of that, I don't mean to, it's not in a self-hating way, it doesn't seem like, but in a, all I have to do is be willing to sign up.
It's
to sit on the cushion.
Yeah. It's going back to the sashimi. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I am not the one walking.
I'm not the one walking.
I am not the one.
No. Life in every moment wants to me to be aware that all I have to do is relax into life.
Yeah.
And focus my attention on life. You know, keep practicing bringing my awareness to that reality, which is I am sitting. It's ego that's not meditating. The brain is just doing what brains do. Let it be there, and all the attention back to that quiet place that I find that is really me, that is sitting.
It's sitting, and it's not, and it doesn't change. It's always there.
Right.
And
sitting.
It's always there. And that it's, and that's the practice. And that it sounds like that muscle has been strengthened for you.
I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, when we get to see it one more time,
mm-hmm.
It does make it stronger.
It does make it stronger.
Yeah. And hear it from each other today in group was very helpful.
I'm just wondering if you have recorded your experience with the sashimi, and that it seems like a very important experience, and I just wondered about having that recorded in for you to be able to listen to.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but I will. I mean, on different levels. I don't know that I've said it, that, you know, like I'm saying it this morning. And then I've said, remember that experience. Because I say it a lot here. I don't know if I recorded it. Probably not. It's not one that I go back to. And so I'm sure if I had recorded it, it would be one of those that... So I will on the way home today.
Yeah, and just how it relates to what's going on in your life right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's reassuring.
It's reassuring. And, and maybe you need a little reminder on there that you were going to put a note for the...
Oh, yeah. Yes, Master. Well, I have my whole plan, too. Like, I'll volunteer to do it. I mean, I just, you know, it'll be one of my upping my game. Because I know it's, you guys are busy. So, thank you.
Okay. I was just looking at all of this, like, my whole life right here in group.
Your whole life has been revealed this morning.
Yeah, it's just been revealed. Yeah. And I was looking at how the stakes are so high is what it's about. Like, especially that thing about going up against it, mm-hmm. And doing that thing that it's telling you not to do, and how the stakes are, it means so much, yeah. You know, to ego.
The stakes are so high in your practice, in going up against ego. It's that turning point to go up against it or to collude with it. Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I'll say it, maybe that'll help clarify it, I think. So like if I did something that was not acceptable to ego, which is projected out onto the world too, then the stakes are so high for it to look bad or to be the wrong person or not do it right, or you know, and it has all these stories about it, you know, like, oh, you did, you know, you're just doing the same thing that your parents did, or you know, it's got all this stuff that it brings up if I go in that direction,
yeah.
You know, or if I take a step that isn't right according to it.
It has its whole plan to keep you small and to not move.
Right.
Yeah. Not to test to see, as the people are saying this morning, that it's lying. Not to, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and like if you go in that direction, then life does have something there. You know, it's like you are in the flow. That is what life's asking you to do. But ego is resisting that and trying to turn you back around, going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or your boat gets stuck in them, whatever. And you just, you know, it's fear and all of that that comes up. And I was just seeing that this morning. Even the one, especially the one about speaking in group, you know, it's funny because I was realizing how that's all right there under the radar, you know, like the stakes are so high about what I say or, you know, like, which is just crazy, really, when you think about it. I mean, that's what we're doing, and
yeah. I mean, who else but Eve will be worried about saying something that's
exactly
stupid or not appropriate or whatever it has to, you know, however it labels what comes out of our mouth.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there, but it just, when you really from center look at it, you're just like, really, like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, especially when you've been doing it for a while. But I was kind of having that experience today of being a new person. Of, you know, when they first start coming in, and they're like, wow, have these people been in my head, you know? Or, and that even is more evidence that it's okay to talk, or
yeah.
It's okay to reveal it,
yeah.
Or, you know, which is what we're doing. So,
yeah. As we see that it's the same for all of us.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that that shows how deep the conditioning is, you know, like as far as like it trying to prevent you from sharing or being just saying what's going on or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just so good to see all of that, because with the content that I'm looking at, I mean, it feels like the impermanence of life keeps bringing up going down the river. You know, it's a good analogy of just, you know, what is the next landscape going to show? Where's the next waterfall going to be here? You know?
Yeah, the next set of rapids, whatever, where is it? Yeah.
Or the next, you know, place you get stuck. And so it's like looking at that from that perspective and going down through that, and the stakes aren't really that. I mean, they are high in terms of choosing the darker or the lighter more than they are in what you do next.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's where the stakes are high, where our attention is focused, not on whatever content that life may hand us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how we do it and where we are at center, making decisions from that place. Being, or, you know, and you're not really making a decision, as was just pointed out. You're just going and you're just showing up, and then it happens, and that's been some experiences I've had lately, and it's just amazing to follow that next thing, and you're just kind of like, I don't really know where this is going, yeah. And if it doesn't go that way, it's okay, and if it goes that way, it's okay, and to just keep going, and then you start to see what was happening later, mm-hmm. And you know, then some other rock gets turned over, and you're like, wow, yeah. That's why that was happening, because now this is happening, and it's such a different place to be.
And again, it builds that muscle, that the trust in life, that life mm-hmm. is, you know, only the best in store for us. Just turning it over and waiting to see what gets revealed next.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you all.